So when Sarah and I were pastoring a church in Dannevirke, most of you will know where that is. It's a test. Look it up on Google right now if you have to. We'd been leading the church there for, we were there 7.5 years. But early on in our role there, one of the big questions that I had was, how do we disciple people? How do we take people as they are, whether they've been in faith a long time or a short time, and how do we help them on the journey of faith? How do we do that, God? And discipleship is such a huge part of our role in this world. We're called to be on mission to be light and salt to our world, right? No denying that. That's an essential part of our role as Christians on earth. However, as part of that is we have a master, a rabbi, a high priest who is to teach us everything we need to know. And when you become a follower of Jesus, and let's not get too caught up in the theology of that, because some of us never have a real moment. It's just been that you've been following God your whole life, whatever. But when you come to Christ as you are, you don't just automatically become this radiant, perfect thing. In some ways you do. We are blameless in God's sight, right? Colossians. However, how do we progress and become the kinds of people that Jesus has called us to be? And God heals us and he does great stuff in our lives that's supernatural that we don't necessarily have a lot of control over. Amen. However, the path of pilgrimage and becoming a disciple of Jesus is hard work. It's laying your life down. It's saying goodbye to the old life and embracing the new every day. It's the work of formation. We're called to mission, to be a missional people, but we're actually called to be disciples and followers of Jesus, because all Jesus said was, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. But how do we do that? It happens in the church already, but I guess one of the things I've seen in my journey as a pastor for 7-8 years, I've seen people that have known Jesus for a long time, and I think, well, do you actually know Jesus? Do you know his saving power? Do you know the work of the Spirit in your life? Do you know that Jesus wants to heal us? Just because we come to faith in Christ doesn't mean we automatically have it all together. It's actually we start this journey of healing and restoration and this beautiful work of the Spirit in our lives. But it's intentional. It doesn't just happen. It happens by work, by living a life that God calls us to. Yeah? And we're all on the spectrum, wherever we are, of becoming more and more like God. All of us. We're all becoming. And so the key questions for Sarah and I is, like, how do we actually disciple people? How do we bring transformation? Can we transform people? How do we see people of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? The work of the Spirit in Galatians 5. How do we do that? Well, we can't do that, but we can foster a culture that helps explores and helps encourages people into that. Because we can't change anyone, but we can encourage people to a life of formation, a life of discipleship to Jesus. And as you've heard us talk about practicing the way as an organization in America that's set up to help churches in the way of discipleship and formation. We just really feel very strong as a kaitiaki that this is the journey we want to go on. And it's invitational, yet at the same time, we are calling everybody to come on a journey with us. And, you know, as whoever said it, what good is it to gain the whole world, to have all the wisdom of everything, but to forsake your own soul? And I don't know if any one of you are like this, but we could be going on in our lives and kind of like neglect the care and the work of God in our own lives. We can be looking after people, which is important, but we can neglect the fact that we need to be eaters and drinkers of the Spirit, of Scripture, And so one of the things that we want to do is looking at what formation discipleship looks like. Now, there's a quote here from a guy called Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard is kind of like a guru, if you like, of spiritual formation. And he has this quote where he talks about the disciplines, the things that we are called to do as Christians to put into our lives, not because it's law, but because we desire God's way and we do these things to grow our lives. And he says this. Hope you can read this. The disciplines are activities of mind and body purposefully undertaken to bring our personality and total being into effective cooperation with the divine order. They enable us to more and more live in a power that is, strictly speaking, beyond us, deriving from the spiritual realm itself. I read it again. The disciplines are activities of mind and body purposefully undertaken to bring our personality and total being into effective cooperation with the divine order. They enable us to more and more live in a power that is, strictly speaking, beyond us, deriving from the spiritual realm itself. Dallas Willard had this kind of dream for the church that we would continue and grow to be the kinds of people that Jesus wants us to be. But that's the work of formation. It's the work of intentional applying things of the life of Jesus into our own lives. And there's a scripture in Acts 4 where it talks about Peter and John standing up. They're unschooled, ordinary men, it says in scripture. They are pretty boring men. And it says in Acts 4:13, it says, when the people saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men had been with Jesus. Our call is to be men and women who are with Jesus. Not just know about Jesus, not just know the scriptures that talk about Jesus, not just kind of turn up to programs and kind of tick boxes. No, God is calling us to be with him, in him, and through him. And that's a work of formation. That's a work of being purposeful with our lives. And I feel like Sarah and I and the Kaitiaki feel that discipleship and formation is key for the church at large. So we're not seeing people come into the church in droves, are we, at the moment? We would love to see people come who don't know Christ coming into this place. Well, that could happen. But until such time, we feel it's important for us to get our foundations right in God so that when people do come, that they have something to come into. That there's a that if you come here to this place at City Life, that you would find, you will be formed. That you will find a place where you know what it means to pray and to do what it means to live a life of Christ. Now, Practicing the Way, this organization in America, led by a guy called John Mark Comer, they've put these practices together, and the practices are Sabbath, fasting, prayer, solitude, generosity, scripture, community, service, and witness. And they're putting these resources together for the church to help the church grow in these areas, what they call of practices, of disciplines, from the life of Jesus. They're great resources, and we want to put those into place in the life of the church, so it's kind of growing more connect groups, life groups, whatever we're going to call them. But it's going to take time, but we just want you to bear with us as we get it right, because we want to do it really well. Not just throw it together, but we want to make sure that our groups, that what we're trying to do is purposeful and useful to all of us. And it takes time. And so what we've decided to do is, as you've walked in the doorway, you would have got this little brochure, this little leaflet called Practicing Lent. This is from an organization called Salt Project, I think it is. And if you read that, it starts talking about how we're coming into a season of spring, which we're not. The church calendar is all based around the Northern Hemisphere. So we're kind of little old Southern Hemisphere. We're kind of on the back foot. Lent starts right at the start of the year when we're kind of coming out of holiday mode. But Lent is a time in the church calendar that we want to adopt this year. And I know, I'm sure City Life has done this in the past. But Lent is a time where for 40 days we want to be more intentional about our relationship to God. And this resource is going to be teaching and things around this resource that you can go home and put it into your lives. But we want to do it well, but it's not overly cumbersome. It's not massive, but it is something, a resource for us to enter into. But it is invitational. Whether you get into this or not, that's up to you. But we want you to go, hey, for the next 40-odd days, it's actually 46 days, Sundays are a day of celebration. For the next 40 days, starting this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, I'm going to put more time aside to be with Jesus and to notice the work of the Spirit, to hear the voice of the Father. We want to be purposeful about that as a community. So we want to use Lent as a tool, as a time in the church calendar to really reflect and grow deeper with God. Kapai? So get amongst that. The other thing too with Lent is often it comes with fasting or abstinence. You might want to give up something for Lent. You might want to give up whatever. People do coffee, TV, they give up different meals. You might want to give up something as an act of worship, as an act of, I'm going to lay my life down for this time to be closer to God. Invitational, this is not you must, but we are deeply inviting you into this because we want to do it together as a church. And each Sunday as we come back during Lent, we're going to come together and we want to hear, how has your time with God been this week? We want people to come stand up the front just for a few minutes to say, I've really found this week great. I've struggled in this area of prayer, or I've met God in this moment. We want to hear because we want to, when we hear and testify together, we grow and learn together. So come prepared. Come prepared that you might share a little something around your Lent journey. Why not? Which comes to my next point, my next conversation, and this is what I'm finishing on this morning. As many of you will know, that we've been processing over the last 14-odd months the whole thought of our building, whether we stay or go. We've had conversations, we've invited people to come and talk to us with their thoughts and ideas, and we had a meeting towards the end of last year with about 30-odd sort of different leaders and influencers in the church last year to talk about how they felt about the building or where things were at with the church, but particularly where we're at with 28 Egmont Street. And as we've, as a kaitiaki, we've gone home over the holidays to consider this, pray, and discern what we believe is the right thing to do. So we have made a decision this week. We've put on our big boys and girls pants and made a decision, which I don't like making decisions because I'm the youngest in my family. But we've decided that we're going to go. We've decided we're going to go. Now, what's the plan, Ben? There is no plan. We have some ideas. We've got some thoughts about what we could do. But the reality is we're probably going to be here for a long time yet. There's no rush for us to go, but there is. We do feel a sense that God is with us in this decision, deeply. In our meeting that we had, I just want to share this one little thing. We had this meeting with all these key influencers and people, and I just asked the question, do we stay or go? Everybody, a few people didn't speak in the meeting, but I spoke to later, a couple of days later, pretty much everyone said, we should go. It's time to go. Now, we were deep, as a kaitiaki, we were deeply impacted by that because we thought it's going to be about halvesies. But it was an overwhelming sense of, we feel there's a sense of God calling us onward from Egmont Street. This is a big call. There's no great time to move church. I don't know when is a really good time to do anything like this. But taking on a project like that doesn't necessarily excite me. It does on one level, but I think about all the work and the next however long it's going to be to make something like this happen. But here's the thing. Whatever change we face, whatever things are happening in our lives, this whole thing of formation is going to hold us because we are deeply serious about our relationship to Jesus. And as we are kind of going through big change with the church, getting formation sorted in the church now is important so that when the winds come and the challenges come, we're going to hold our ground. We're going to be able to stand in the challenges, stand in the unknown, stand firmly in the faith that we profess. Kapoe? So last week I spoke about how we need God's strength this year. And after this, what I've just dropped on you, we sure do. Drop the bomb, Ben. But listen to this. This is what, as I was talking to Kaitiaki this week, as we were discerning and made a decision, this is the scripture that came to mind. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We are on pilgrimage, and we're going to need God's strength this year. And in amongst God's strength, we want to lean on Jesus and learn what it means to pray, learn what it means to be in his presence, learn what it means to grow. And that's what we're going to do. If just a bit of reading, if you're a reader, this book is a bit of a life-changing kind of aha moment book. It's called The Emotionally Healthy Church. This is a book by a guy called Pete Scazzaro. Pete Scazzaro was leading a big church in Queens, about 175 nations represented in his church, massive church. And his wife said to him, "I quit." His loving wife said, "I'm quitting the church." What was happening for Pete Scazzaro was the fact that, you know, he was, all of his life on paper seemed pretty successful. Church was growing, people coming in. But the reality is that within his own family, things were a mess. And his wife said to him, "I quit because this is just so overwhelming for us. You aren't," you know, basically she hammered him. And basically, Peter started this pilgrimage of going, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus and have a healthy life? This whole thing of formation and pilgrimage is about learning what it means to be faithful to God, to serve his kingdom on earth, and to have a healthy life at the same time. And if you get a chance to buy this book or read this book, it's an amazing book because it challenges what we think it means to be a successful person in the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you to that. So I'm just finished now, but I guess, guys, this is a really big decision hearing. You know, this church, I don't take lightly. This church has meant a lot. This building has meant a lot to us over the years. This building was bought on in miraculous, right? I do not hold that. I hold that very intention. I hold that. However, I do believe, we do believe that God is calling us to something else and another opportunity. Okay? So now I just wonder if we could stand. And just take this moment, it's a big deal. It's kind of like we a little bit of a wilderness time for us ahead. But the problem that Israel didn't, the problem they had is they didn't trust and obey God. But we are going to trust God, we're going to obey him, and we're going to be led by his Spirit. So let's just, where we are, let's just hold this big decision of our building before our God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. God, we thank you that you won't leave us alone and you will journey with us. And we just speak to you are a God who provides. You are a God who's done that time and time again, not even only in Scripture, but in the history of the church and in the world. You're a God who provides. And as we plan and do our things, Scripture says that in his heart a man plans his path, but the Lord determines his steps. Thank you, God, that you are with us and you will help our steps along the way. God, our anxiety, our fears, the things that, you know, all the unknownness, we hand over to you right now and continue to hold in your presence, knowing that you will hold us in these days. We thank you that you know. You know. You know. And we trust in you, Holy Spirit. We trust in you, God, for our days ahead. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their mind on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Amen. Please be seated. So that's our meeting. If you love, do you want to have a conversation with us? Please, love to talk to you about this. This is a big call. Love for you to journey with us in prayer and encouragement. God bless. Go well this week. Thanks, Beth. Oh, close up.